The Ville was ringed by sentries at night, guarding against another sneak attack from the muties. But the central area, near the beach, was left unguarded. The large fire was allowed to smolder during the hours of darkness. There was a quarter moon, mostly hidden behind banks of tattered cloud. Though none of the companions had much experience on water, they had all agreed that the ships offered their best chance. The plan was to push off and make their way eastward, keeping close to land to avoid becoming lost. They'd strike inland at the first hint of dawn and head for the high ridge to the south. With luck, the friends would get over the top before any pursuit could get close. Jack left the hut first, his white hair covered by a hacked piece of blanket. JB followed, ready to move in fast at any sign of trouble. Doc and Mildred were third and fourth, with Christy at their heels. Ryan brought up the rear. There was no point in their stealing one of the 50-foot-long dragon ships. It would have been utterly impossible for so few to handle one. But there were several smaller boats, narrow with single oars, and lying low in the water. The Ville was asleep. Not even a dog stirred. They reached the lower part of the beach safely. They reached one of the small boats, its oars neatly stacked inside. Jack took up a position in the stern, alert for any threat, while the others climbed aboard. Ryan and JB were last, and set their shoulders to the task of moving the craft off the grating pebbles. Very slowly, they began to float away from the Viking Ville.
Watch your elbow, Doc.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but this contrary piece of wood won't do what I want it to do.
Hold her straight, Christy.
Gaia, you want to steer Ryan, then you come and have a go. Otherwise, shut the hell up.
Trying to propel the boat in the direction they wanted was proving even more difficult than Ryan could possibly have imagined. Once the boat floated a few yards out onto the lake, Ryan and JB had each taken an oar to paddle the craft farther from the steading. As soon as the others took oars, the chaos began. The oars were long and heavy, and it was hard for Doc and Mildred to control them. Ryan had to hiss a biting warning about the amount of noise they were making, splashing, cursing, and banging the clumsy oars against each other and against the sides of the vessel. Another big problem was that the boat had no conventional tiller or rudder. Ryan followed Doc's tentative suggestion that the bracket near the stern was for a steering oar. Trailed over one side, the blade of the oar could be angled to change the course of the vessel. But Ryan found the method clumsy and difficult. If he altered the pitch of the oar a fraction too much, the boat went careering off in the opposite direction. Eventually, Ryan managed to find an effective way of running the boat. Jack took the steering oar and tried to hold the craft just within sight of the shore. Ryan, JB, and Christy each took an oar, while Mildred and Doc shared a thwart and did their best to share the last of the oars. It wasn't terrific, but it was the best they could do. The night air was cool, and Ryan could see his breath misting in front of him. Behind the boat, he could just make out the silvery line of the wake, cutting erratically over what had once been called Lake Superior. His sight was only a little better than average, and he'd long since lost the red glow of the fire at the center of the Ville. Nor had he been able to make out anything of the land to their right. In the darkness, it was difficult to judge what kind of progress they were making. As they were on a lake, there wouldn't be much of a current, but there was a fresh breeze blowing.
Jack?
Yeah?
How are we doing?
Moving.
How far off from the land?
100 yards, maybe two.
No sign of anyone coming after us? Or anyone on shore?
Nothing. Quiet as a hunting gator.
Ryan, trying to keep a steady stroke that the others would be able to match, was worried that they were moving too slowly. The dragon ships, fully manned, would overhaul them within minutes once they were within sight. It was important that they keep a watch behind them and look out for the first lightening of the eastern sky ahead of them. The sky finally began to grow less dark, but with infinite slowness. Ryan noticed the silvery sparkle of water off the broad blade of the oar. Glancing to his right, he realized that he could now make out the low silhouette of the shore, and rising above it, he was now able to see the pinkish tint of the higher ground.
Still nobody after us, Jack?
No, but lights come. Head in?
Stop rowing a minute.
Christy slumped over her oar, her hair trailing across it. JB sat back on his thwart, fedora pushed off his forehead.
I'll stick to walking or wags in the future, if you don't mind, Ryan.
There was a narrow headland jutting into the lake about a quarter mile ahead, with what looked to be a sheltered bay beyond it. The trees came down close to the water, and behind them the hillside seemed to slope steeply upward. Ryan pointed.
There.
He wiped sweat off his face, wondering whether he'd be better off in less clothing. His attention was drawn to the lapel of his shirt, where he'd pinned the tiny rad counter.
Fireblast! Look at that!
What lever?
Look.
He pointed to the diminutive disc, which was usually a neutral green color. Now, it was glowing with a deep reddish-orange.
Hotspot.
They beached the boat in a narrow inlet at the head of the bay, pulling it as far in under some overhanging trees as they could. Ryan was worried that it might still be visible to anyone sailing by. Knowing the difficulty of the terrain they had faced before, his guess was that they had the biggest head start that they could get. He hefted the Heckler & Koch over his shoulder and looked ahead. They were at the bottom end of a steep-sided valley, which had a stream running through the middle. It was nearly wide enough to be called a river, about 9 feet across where they stood. As Ryan looked at the water, a large salmon swam slowly and erratically past him, flopping over on its side, then straightening. Jack was bending down a few yards away, hands cupped, ready to drink from the clear, sparkling water.
No!
Ryan's bellow of angry warning sent the dawn birds screeching from the pine trees. A flock of gulls rose in a screaming protest from the rocks at the end of the headland.
What?
Jack spat, stumbling with shock, water spilling from his fingers.
Come here.
What?
Put a few drops of that water on my rad counter.
Why?
Just do it.
The boy reached out a finger and allowed a single drop of the spring water to fall on the tiny button, which immediately went from the orange-red color to a dazzling, flaring scarlet.
Holy shit. Does that mean what I think it does?
Indubitably.
We don't have a choice. We go farther along the coast, or we go back toward the Viking village. We cannot stay here.
If we go upriver and over the mountain, we'll be there and gone fast. We won't be exposed to the rad for that long.
Mildred turned to face Christy, her hands on her hips.
Do you have any brains in that pretty head, lady?
What do you mean?
The count here at the edge of the lake's hot enough to fry a side of pork. What do you think it'll be higher up, where the radiation leak has to be stronger? While we're here jawing about it, the sickness is settling on us like fine ash from an erupting volcano.
All right, no point going farther. Must be close to the villa of those muties. Have to go back. Take the boat and keep close into the shore. Hope to spot any pursuers before they're close enough to hit us.
Then let's go.
One brief moment, if I may, Ryan.
What, Doc?
It seems likely there's been some slow seepage around here for some years. Think of the appalling mutations we witnessed in the attackers. But the illness that is now striking at the Viking people seems to me to indicate some new and drastic increase in the radiation potential. The water, the fish. My interest as a scientist prompts me to ask whether we might take a half hour and go a short way up the river to see what we shall see.
Ryan looked at the others. Mildred shook her head firmly. So did Jack. J.B. shrugged his shoulders. Christy looked behind her into the clean-smelling pine trees.
An hour can't hurt much. I'd like to know.
Fine. We leave now, and we're back in the boat in precisely 40 minutes. Anyone wants to stay here can. Mildred?
Mildred grinned.
I'm not going to just sit here while that old goat boldly goes where no scientist has gone before. But we don't touch or eat or drink anything.
It took less than 15 minutes. A clear path meandered along the left-hand side of the river, which they followed. The water flowed through a gorge, and fresh scars along its flanks testified to recent earthfalls. Mildred pointed them out to the others, commenting on the minor quake they'd all experienced.
I assume that the nuclear devastation during the war was so intense that it triggered movements of some of the less stable tectonic plates. You said that most of California slid into the Pacific, Doc?
Right.
So, bearing in mind a lot of the nasties were buried underground, lead-lined vaults and all that so-called safety bullshit, major tremors could open them up like a hot knife through butter.
Mildred? I never read anything that told how rad sickness works. I mean, I know about what it does, the rash and puking and all that. But how does it do that? You can't see it or anything.
Not my specialty, Ryan. But I guess I know a little. Gather round, students.
Everyone stood closer.
You won't know much about negatively charged electrons, ions, or free radical molecules, right? No, I thought not. Me neither. Radiation has alpha and beta particles, and they have a charge of electricity. They screw up the electrons and molecules in the body, send them apeshit wild. I know that structural proteins like collagen get smashed around. The DNA, no, you wouldn't know that either. The tiny cells can reproduce themselves perfectly in a healthy body. Radiation messes that up.
The cell blueprint is ruined, is that it?
Sure. And the cells that reproduce fastest are the ones that get hit first and hardest. Blood, of course, and skin and hair. So you get leukemia and your skin starts falling off and goodbye hair. More serious mutations are slower to show, but just as deadly in the long run.
Thanks, Mildred. Well, it's all way beyond me.
Radiation kills, Ryan. That's all you need to know. A man who gets a bullet through the brain doesn't need to know all about high-energy physics or ballistics. Just that he's been shot and he's going to die.
Time's passing, people. Should we be turning around for the boat?
Looks like path opens around corner there.
There are no farther. Then we all hurry back.
I just can't believe this place is so poisoned. Tall pines and the freshest stream you ever saw.
No birds.
Other than the sound of the small river, the morning was silent. The only life at all was a glittering, coppery cockroach that ambled across the trail in front of them. JB raised a boot to crush it, but Mildred warned him not to touch it.
Don't touch it. Creatures like that'll inherit the Earth.